all right? I was given the challenge of trying to teach about what every teacher should know. Woo, that's bold and spicy, but let me see how I do, all right? My goal for you is I want you to feel that you have better prep, your teachers feel more sanity in your classrooms, and that your kids are happier, right? Bold? Maybe, but I think it's possible. All right, so let's get into it. Before we do, let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this session. Help us, God, to become better teachers for you. We are conveying your truth. Lord, we want your spirit to be in our classrooms, and we want to be completely prepared, God, to be able to minister, not just to teach, but to minister to these kids, Lord, for your word to be alive in our mouths, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us to do it better and to really reach these kids in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, gang. So starting off, is it doing it? I don't know. There we go. Okay, Sunday school. This is just a callback to that. I'm going to read it to you if you can't read it, which is to equip kids in a way that is so fun and engaging that they not only show up every week, but are so excited that they invite their family and friends. That's the goal of your classrooms, right? So let's talk about how to get there. I want to talk about a week in the life of a teacher, okay? A look behind the scenes. So I got some of this stuff. I've been to other conferences where, like, Brother Regnard's taught on this. I've seen some other people teach on it. So this is kind of a riff and a morph of a lot of that type of stuff. So think about the pattern of somebody who's kind of unprepared. Sometimes I do skits with this stuff, right? And you got, like, how many of you guys have ever waited till Saturday night? The week gets away with you, and you're sweating it on Saturday night. Yeah? Right? How many of you guys think that's the best way to go about things? No, right? So we're going to talk about two ways to go about things. The, ooh, I'm caught behind, and the better approach, right? What does that look like? You know, there's a couple things here. And as I mentioned, all of these notes, all the slides are actually going to be on nextlevelkidmin.com. You'll be able to download all of this type of stuff. So if you can't see it that clearly there, it's all going to be there for you, right? But here's the thing. A lot of times what happens is basically Monday comes along, you don't do anything. Tuesday comes along, you don't do anything. Wednesday comes along, what do? You have some fun, right? You're playing video games. You're going outside. You're doing other stuff with your family. You're not thinking about Sunday school. Thursday, Friday come along. Saturday, you're absolutely in osmosis mode. Lord, you lay your Bible on the head. Let this word be in me, God, right? You're like, oh, God, you know, like putting it on your heart. Maybe it'll get into your heart that way. You know, like you put the Word of Flame manual on your head while the Bible's on your heart, right? Like hoping that it just gets into you as fast as possible. You're like watching YouTube videos for object lessons as quick as possible. Okay, I got to try this stuff. Ah, it's not working. You're like at your dinner table and you're freaking out, right? That's not the way to live, right? That's not the way to live. There's a better way. There's a better way, right? You know, the thing that I've heard people joke about is the whole, like, Father Abraham thing, right? Or the, and you'll grow song. There's, like, a couple Sunday school songs where it's like, if you ain't got nothing to do, you can sing those two songs, right? Okay, kids, let's sing if you read your Bible and pray every day. That means you don't have a plan, right? You know, it's like, there's like certain things where it's like, okay, I don't know what to do. We're going to go ahead and scramble and all this type of stuff. Guess what? P.S. The kids know the jig is up, people. They can tell you're not prepared, right? And you know, here's the thing. When you're looking at these any and everyday characteristics, there's no specific planning that's happening. You're just kind of drifting through your week until you get to Saturday, and it's go, 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 go. And, you know, some people, they'll be like, yeah, but I work way better under pressure, brother. You don't understand. Do you really? Do you really? Try on for size another way to do things, right? Another thing is also a lack of planning. It's very obvious. But you know what? A lack of planning, chances are, will also lead to a lack of prayer and an anointing. Because if you're not thinking about, what are you praying about, right? You know, and that's really the biggest thing. Are you praying for your classroom? Are you praying for your lesson, right? I mentioned to you guys earlier, like, your lesson, is it a mac and cheese that you cooked up on Saturday night? Or is it a beautiful spiritual pot roast that's been marinating in your soul, right? All week long. So I want to talk about that when we get into being prepared. So we'll come back to the pot roast. You know what else happens when you are not prepared? How many of you guys work with teams? Yeah? Any type of team. How many of you guys like it when you don't know anything that's going on until Sunday morning? I love it. Right? But you know what? When you're scrambling on Sunday night, Saturday night, oh my goodness, don't wait till Sunday night. It's like class is over, people, right? But okay, if you're scrambling on Saturday night, you know what happens? And I've done this, right? That's why I know. You feel so bad because you just finished your lesson. You are scared to text your team on what the plan is, right? And then everybody's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Just like getting into class and all stuff like that. Nobody knows what to do. There's a better way, right? So I'm like super exaggerating some of this stuff, but some of this stuff probably feels pretty real to all of us. Because I'm sure all of us have done this. I can tell you, hey, I am not super teacher. I taught for a lot of years, and I did these a lot of times. I am sorry to say that, you know, it's embarrassing, right? Like, the kids could tell, and it's just because they loved me. Oh, Brother James, you know, oh, he's trying hard, right? You know, stuff like that. But I could tell that they knew I was not prepared, right? And I was not fooling them. And so lack of communication. And the last one is... it creates lots of stress, depression, sadness, and death. Okay, maybe not death, but maybe lots of sadness, right? You know, you're just like, oh man. You know, here's the funny thing. A lot of people, they're like, Sunday school is so hard, you know, like these lessons are so hard. And it makes you sad because you don't feel fruitful on your Sunday morning, right? When you feel fruitful, you can take anything on, right? And you just, fruit builds fruit. So now let's turn the corner. What does it look like to have healthy pattern of preparation? Okay, so I want to give you guys a different way of thinking about this. What if, you know, like here's a, you know, something that people say is take Monday, chill. Like calm everything, just Sunday was a whirlwind, relax. Tuesday, open up your manual. Just look at it. You and I, Brother Philip, have talked about the red car effect, right? When somebody talks about red car, somebody got a new red car, you're like, man, there are never red cars on the road. Then all of a sudden you're looking around, they're like, red car, red car, red car, red car, red car. I see red cars everywhere, right? That's the funny thing. You're sitting there and you look at the lesson, and the lesson is about a certain thing, and then all of a sudden you're looking around and you see the lesson everywhere, right? It's a lesson about faith, and then you hear somebody talking about what God just built up their faith in this, or they just got a miracle, they just got a healing. You're like, faith is everywhere, faith is everywhere. You start to have that in your head, right? So get prepared and give God the opportunity to show you that the lesson's actually all over the place, right? Start on Tuesday, give yourself time, right? And then prayer and study and keeping your eyes open. So look at the verses, look at the lesson. Here's why. The more time you give yourself, the more you can use different resources, whether it's apostolicsundayschool.com, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Pinterest, because here's what I found when I was teaching using like Word of Flame or any other materials. I was just talking to somebody at lunch about this. They're like, you know, it's kind of funny. We're teaching seven-year-olds and the whole first unit is about wisdom, right? You know, and it's just like, wholly not exciting, Batman, right? You know, like, it's like, how can we make, where's the fire? We need fire. We need explosions. We need something fun. So here's my advice to you. Even if it doesn't tie in with a lesson, do something fun. But even better yet, we are creative enough And we have the power of Google enough that we can find something that ties in with our lesson and can be exciting. You can find something that will make wisdom exciting. And if not, at least they're going to have a lot of fun, right? Seriously, right? So that's the challenge. You do this stuff Saturday night, you're just stressed. You do this stuff Wednesday, you give yourself time. You didn't find it Wednesday, you got Thursday, you're just spending little chunks of time, right? Okay, so then you get to Thursday. Thursday is the point. This is what I work out with my teams, where everybody's communicating. Send out the text. Hey, guys, you know, this is what we're teaching on, just reminding. Hey, blah, blah, blah is going to pick up the snack, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Cool, right? If you're the one that's in charge for that day, everybody communicates. If there's something that's going on, everybody can talk about it 2 days before the event, right? Everybody's like totally changes the game when it comes to stress level, right? We're communicating. It feels good. You're communicating. It feels good to be communicated with, right? And everybody just feels more together, right? So if you do your communication by Thursday, keeps everything really tight, clean, and together. And what are you doing by that point, Friday and Saturday? You're just really continuing to pray, and now you're starting to really put all this stuff together. You're practicing your object lesson. You're looking. Maybe you can even invite a special guest to come and talk about when they got healed. They can come and talk about a time that God did something for them, something that happened with faith, right? I was out of a job, and God miraculously gave me one. I had the situation where nothing, like, you know, I didn't have this, and God did this for me. Awesome. Or, you know, you have a skit. This happens, right? You get this awesome idea. I'm going to do a skit. And then you realize it's 11:47 on Saturday night. Who is going to do this skit? Hey, hon, right? And you're like trying to con your wife or your husband or whoever. It's like, can you help out in Sunday school tomorrow, right? What if you did that Thursday or Friday? Right? You got all of Saturday to call some friends up. Hey, you know, like, I want to do this skit. Maybe we can video it. Maybe you can come in live. You know, like, would you be cool with that? Time. Time is your friend. Time is your friend. So, by Saturday, you're just praying over it, and you are really wrapping up your prep. Finally, what do you get on Sunday? The outcome is you've got a prepared lesson. There is communication there. The team knows what they're doing. And everybody has a better experience. The snack is ready. The lesson's ready. The kids feel like these guys know what they're doing. Everything's prepared. You know, like, it's just kind of a thing, right? When you feel that somebody is leading, there's a higher propensity to follow, right? And these kids, that's true for kids. If they feel like nobody's in charge... the loudest kid will become the one in charge. And they will try to take over your class, right? And that's what happens. When you get yourself caught in a situation where you're not feeling prepared, you are fighting for control of that class with that kid the whole time, right? Instead, you know, like on Thursdays, you're pinging each other and you notice the week before, like blah, blah, blah with that kid. How can we get him more involved this week so that doesn't happen, right? That, like, stuff like that. Everybody's thinking about this stuff ahead of time. You don't come to class and just like, reaction, right? You're ready. You're ready. You're ready. So what does this do for you? The any and everyday characteristics are that there's just prayerfulness because you already know what you're going to do and you're just praying, God, help me convey it. Help me convey it. God, I want your presence and your spirit there to be speaking to these kids. As my mouth is moving, your spirit is touching. God, move this week, move this week. Move on these kids. God, I'm praying that these kids are here. You're praying for your classrooms because it's on your mind. It's on your mind the whole time. What that's going to do is that's going to help you be anointed, right? It's not just about the technique, right? You can sit there and you can, like, take classes to be a better speaker and all this other stuff. Those are good things. Those are good things. You want to understand technique. But what is technique without anointing, right? Seriously, we want for our churches to be a place where a kid says, you know what? Other places will give me a Target gift card, but I feel something when that teacher talks. There is something there. I feel something in here when they talk, right? And that doesn't come without prayer. So it's important. We have to have these things there. And that's not I prayed really hard Saturday night, right? You know, prayer can't be like cramming for a test, right? You know, you can't do a week's worth of prayer in a night, right? So it has to be an all week long kind of thing. And the communication just overall makes morale better, doesn't it? Right? It just makes it easier and everybody's dialed in and stuff like that. Everybody just feels better and more secure. And that secureness amongst the team translates to secureness amongst the kids, right? It's just like, okay, there's safety in this classroom. Everybody knows what's going on. They're in control and, you know, it's better. That allows for peacefulness, preparation, and excitement because you took the time using the power of that which is Google to find awesome ideas, right? You took the time to practice these things, Apostolic Sunday School or any of these other things, to figure out how to make your lesson excellent. There's also responsibility, unity, trust, and teamwork that develops, right? Because the opposite happens when nobody's communicating. There's a lack of trust. I've seen it in classrooms, and I've done it to people, right? I'm telling you this because of my mistakes, not because of my perfection. You know, like it's like, you know, you sit there and you feel bad, right, when you do these things. And you're like, man, you know, I'm sorry. Or you're on the other side and you're like, oh, it was just a really rough week and stuff like that. It's okay. Turn the corner, right? Start now and just be more prepped and more communicative. And who doesn't want to work better together, right? You know, we're all in it for the same thing. We just want to see these kids be saved, right? But, you know, it begins with us taking care of each other as teams too. You know, it's like love one another. That's how they know that we're Christians, right? And so this preparation leads to anointing and passion. That's the last thing that's really important. The more prepared you are, the more prayed up you are, you get a vision for what God can do in that classroom, right? That's the thing that I try to pray. God, help me see. Like before Kids Church even happens, I want to see in my mind kids already at the altar. I want to see that lesson, when it's been spoken, something is happening. They're already there, right? And that passion wells up inside of you. I'm like, I can't wait till Sunday morning. I can't wait to teach this lesson. I can't wait to see their reactions, to see them get it, right? And you pray that passion into you. So that those are the things that I believe. You do these types of things, it will take the stress away. It will bring the passion up, and it will increase the teamwork, and everybody's going to feel better. And when you all feel better as adults, the kids are going to feel better. So classroom structure. Here's some tips I have for classroom structure. I've worked in all kinds of team structures. I've worked in teams where it's literally me and another person teaching as many as 30 to 40 kids. And, you know, I also have another structure now where I'll tell you my structure today. I typically will have 2 to 3 teachers in a classroom, and then I'll have another 2 to 3 adults that are group leaders. Those group leaders each take about 10 kids under their wing. Those 10 kids don't rotate. It's their kids, right? So first, I'm going to start from the perspective, if you're just teachers, you don't have any group leaders, all right? What do? My recommendation is, before class starts, take a few minutes, have some Jenga blocks out, have some Uno, other things like that. Let them decompress and get into the mode of, I'm in class now, right? You want to give them time to talk about their week. Talk to them about their week. Because a lot of times, if there's something pent up in their minds, they just wanted to talk to somebody. If you don't take care of that first, you're going to fight them the rest of your lesson while they're trying to talk to somebody, get that out of them. And this saves you a lot of time and energy, right, in dealing with those discipline problems ahead of time. Because they're really not as big of a problem as that if you just take care of it that way, potentially. Here's the other thing you'll find. That's an opportunity for you to kind of figure out if there's something big going on in their life right now, right? Like, there's been times where it's like, oh, you know, like, here's the thing. You find a kid is acting out. You didn't get a chance to kind of take that pulse and find out what's going on. They could have had somebody die in their family, right? And then they're like acting out and they're bothered. Your mindset totally changes on how to solve the problem with these kids when you know more of what's going on. This is a chance to really get in sync with what's happening and like scope out the landscape, right? The other thing is have clearly posted rules and plan consequences ahead of time, right? Three strikes, you're out. This is what counts as the first strike. We do this, you know, I've heard like you can post a board at the back of the room, you don't yell, and you just write their name on the board, you know, like first time you go over and you write their name, second time put a star next to it, third time they have to leave class, right? Or something like that. I've seen the other one where it's like kids' church, and you know, the other thing that's like kind of group pressure-y is like the balloons, right? It's like if all three balloons are not popped by the end of this kids' church session, this side will have a candy rain, right? The way the balloon gets popped is if anybody is not following the rules. You pop one balloon, everybody's like, bro, you better not, right? You know, like it's like, I want my candy, right? You know, and it's like, you got a whole team of enforcers for you. Everybody else is doing your work for you. They're like, do you see they got Snickers this morning, man? Come on now, right? You know, so it's like, think about things like that. Make the consequences clear, right? And hopefully make it positive, right? You want to give these kids candy anyway. You want to do like these fun things anyway. So I just wanted to give you guys some ideas on ways that you can help and structure matters. Structure matters, right? So now let me tell you about creating crews. If you can do it, I want to give you an idea of how we use this. This might not fit everybody, but you know, I want to give you an idea. So what we do is I have three teachers and I have three crew leaders. And this is cool because you have some people that just turned 18 and they are not ready to teach. Maybe they're ready, but some of them are just saying, I'm not ready to teach, but I want to help. Right? Or they were in VBS and they're like, this is so cool. I like working with kids, but I don't know if I can prepare a lesson. Like, that's really intimidating to me. Right? It's like, got the perfect job for you. You've been approved for Sunday school and, you know, went through all the right channels. Now let's go ahead and let's use you here as a group leader. What does that mean? Well, you got 10 kids assigned to you. At the start of class, you get your kids together, you take attendance, and then you ask them what their week was like, and any prayer requests they have. During the lesson, you sit with them and you make sure they're getting it. And if they're acting up, you put your hand on their shoulder and see how they're doing. At the end of the lesson, when it's snack time, you sit with them at snack and you ask them what they learned. And you ask them if they have questions about it. And you're like, what do the teachers do? Like have coffee the whole time? Right? The answer is no, right? Here's why I did this. I looked at the classrooms, and most of the time, teachers are in firefight mode. Somebody did not set up the snack. Quick, get the goldfish. While somebody else is teaching, and you're just like, nah, 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 right? Fire hose, and you're like trying to do as much as you can, right? And everybody's like scurrying. What happens is, what happened to the kids? Who's talking to the kids, right? Everybody's too busy worried about goldfish, right? We got a Mary Martha problem. Oh, Martha, I'm glad you're like rocking it in the kitchen, but who's talking over here, you know? These things are needful, right? So, you know, what about the kids? So the crew leaders offer a consistent experience. Somebody's with them the whole time, right? And then the teachers have the flexibility to kind of basically be looking across the classroom. Who needs help here? And then they can sweep into the different groups. They can even swap groups once in a while and just be talking with the kids. Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? Right? Because they'll look and see, out of these 10 kids, somebody needs a little extra help today, right? Shifts the dynamic completely. Also, from the standpoint of another goal, how many of you guys have ever been teaching a lesson and then you're sitting there and you're like, and then Jonah, and somebody's like, ah, and they're like saying this stuff, and you're like sitting there, and you're like, I don't want to start my lesson, but I, aren't you like pointing and you're like kind of like trying to keep teaching and you're like trying to get the other teachers over there. You're like, you know, like you're trying to do your thing, right? Really stressful, right? Or the other thing is you're like, and then Jonah, excuse me, was I talking, right? And the whole class stops and everybody's like, stares at the kid, like super awkward, right? I wanted that to disappear, right? So the group leaders touch his shoulder. Hey, you okay? If the kid really needs to be taken out of the classroom, just find out what's going on. The thing I challenge you with is I believe kids actually do naturally want to behave, especially when they like you, right? So maybe it's something else. And even if it isn't, come with that expectation that, you know, you're actually a good kid and something's up today. What's bothering you today? Is something happening in your home? Is something up? And the crew leader can do it without like this massive disruption. And if you have one or two other teachers there, they be a surrogate crew leader for just a little bit while the crew leader handles the situation. Changes the dynamic of the classroom, right? So, all depending. Like for me, some of you that I've talked to about kind of how I was growing up, I started teaching Sunday school when I was 14 because of the fact that I went to a church where there was nobody else to teach my sister's 8-year-old class. We were a really small church, right? So I understand that for some of you, you're like, I wish I could have 6 people in a classroom. You crazy, right? You know, it's like, that would be awesome. But you know what? Think about it. Pray about it. Plan it. Because if you are converting these kids, you're going to turn around in a few years, they're going to be in class with you. They are going to be your crew leaders, right? It happens so fast. But build toward it. Think about it. Pray about it, right? Lessons. Let's talk about length, delivery, and content. Oh, man. I can't believe this is like session 5 right now. This has been like a marathon. This is awesome. Thank you, guys. I'm surprised your like eyeballs are not rolling into the back of your brain and you're not so sick of my voice right now. But that comes to a pretty important thing. There are times when I have walked into a classroom and I've thought, I walked in like 20 minutes ago and this teacher is still teaching, right? And then you're watching and the kids are like, you know, like, like, seriously, that actually happened in one of the classrooms. I was, like, cracking up. I, like, walked out of the classroom. I'm like, oh, my goodness, we're going to have a chat after, right? And it's like, you know, they're like, but I prepared. I did this thing. So let's talk about length of lesson. Because when I see that, I think the challenge is, you know, you have to think differently about how to break it up, right? There's ways to break it up. Also, how do you deliver it? How do you make it fun? And then what do you have in the content? So length, here's my thoughts. And for those of you that are looking at this and wincing already, if you can even read it, it says length should be about 5 to 10 minutes, okay? And it should be an object lesson. When I taught this to my team, I actually did an object lesson. I don't have the stuff equipped here, and I don't want to get this platform wet, okay? So you're going to have to use the theater of your mind right now, okay? So here's the thing. Imagine, whoop, I have a cup that's like a baby Dixie cup, all right? About the size of something that a little 5-year-old would drink. And then, whoop, I've got like a cup that's maybe more like, you know, we're talking like big 8-year-old, big bruiser 8-year-old, right? Like big, like Dixie large cup, right? One of those red ones or something. Every kid has a certain capacity. And I actually had this conversation with a Sunday school teacher where she's like, well, you know, it's our responsibility to help these kids get a longer attention span. I said, well, that is fascinating. So I wanted to challenge that. And maybe I'm challenging that for some of you. So I want to convince you to this side of thinking, which is this. How do you win that battle? Your lesson, what you're pouring into these kids, imagine it being like water, right? You're pouring. If their attention span is a little 5-minute Dixie cup and you've got a 20-minute lesson, what's happening? Most of your lesson is wasted. It's wasted, right? You got some that are really big Dixie cup. They actually took the whole thing. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Those kids that are coming on the bus, how big do you think their Dixie cup is? Whoop. Little Dixie cups, right? What are you saying? You saying you okay with losing all those kids? Totally losing their minds and attention spans to your lesson? God forbid, right? I know that's not that person's intention. I know that's not any teacher's intention on that. So let me help you. Because you know what? You're coming up against something even worse. It's not even a level playing field. You've got so many things working against you that it's like, you know, if you had it on a board that was tilted, you pour and it doesn't fit in that cup, you know what? That 5 minutes doesn't even get in the cup. The whole cup spills. And that kid went home with nothing. Right? Now, maybe this sounds like tough words, but I'm challenging you. So I'm asking you, keep your mind open and hear me out on this, right? Because I know some people have felt like, wow, that's really strong, man. But here's the thing. Then how do you navigate this? The answer is break up your lesson into pieces, right? Take what Brother Caleb taught you and make the game part of your lesson. My goal is I want most of the teaching actually done by the time I am doing my lesson, right? The song talked about what I'm teaching. The game taught about what I'm teaching. Now I'm going to do an object lesson that's tied into that, and now that's going to be my teaching. But it all ties in, and everything's a five-minute chunk, right? So it's... Because you know what? Basically, thanks to Sesame Street, every kid is pretty much pre-programmed with a five-minute timer on their attention span at this point in their lives, right? A lot of these ones that are coming off the streets. And that's why I say, like, you know, like, we have to figure out some type of new paradigm for discipleship. Because oftentimes people think, well, you know, Sunday school is to make sure that our kids are spiritually strong. But the Wilmoth was talking about, you know what? That's what parents are for, right? To be able to sit there and, like, disciple their kids. What about kids that don't have that? We got to figure out something else for them. But Sunday school, we always have to remember, even if you get a bunch of kids trained to be those giant Dixie cups, every week, if the bus ministry is growing, you got a whole bunch of little Dixie cups that just came in and you got to completely retrain. Basically, you're never going to win the battle. So you have to adapt. Or you have to accept that you are going to lose those bus kids. And that's not acceptable, right? God entrusts these kids to you. What will you do with it, right? We have to work harder at this then. So that's the type of thing where, you know, now I'm challenging you with length. So delivery, how do you deliver in a fun way? We've had a couple different sessions on it. I'm going to try to tie some of it together, even though I didn't get to be in those sessions. Great stories. You know, I tell a lot of stories from my childhood because I had a pretty goofy childhood. If you saw me as a kid, I was a pretty rough kid. Not like rough, like just like I was a dork. I was like a huge dork, okay? Third grade, I weighed 100 pounds, okay? Like 100-pound third grader, and I spoke like almost no English, right? I stayed back in, you know, whatever is before first grade, because my English was so bad, right? So I was always older than everybody else in all my classes. And you got to imagine what that did for my confidence. Like, I started overeating. I would take sticks of butter and I'd dip them in sugar and I'd eat it, right? Candy bar, right? And I just had, you know, I had a hard time making friends because I didn't speak the language, all of that other stuff. People picked me for kickball like nobody's business, though. Man, those big legs of mine, right? That ball would go. But other than that, you know, there wasn't a lot of value to me, right? It was a really sad time for me. I remember I lived up in New England, and what I love about California is California is so much more diverse. I was literally like one of the only Chinese kids where I was living. I remember when I was in... It always kind of makes me almost cry when I talk about this. But I remember when I was in kindergarten, and everybody would get a chance to hold the American flag and lead everybody in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. That's really hard when you don't even speak the language, right? And I did it. I was holding the flag, And I'm trying so hard to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm doing it wrong. And all these kids, we were in a circle around the flag, and I'm in the middle of the circle with the flag. And they saw I was messing up, and one kid just pulls his hand over to his eye, and he pulls it tight, and he starts yelling Chinese, Chinese, and jumping up and down. And then all of them did it. And I dropped that flag, and I ran out of that room. And I was so mad. I was so mad. But you know what? How many of you have been hurt like that before? Right? Sometimes it's our pain that helps us connect to these kids and telling them, you know what? I have somebody to turn to when people hurt me. You think you're alone? You go home and you talk to Jesus. It doesn't matter what language you speak. He speaks your language. It doesn't matter what somebody just did to you. He went through worse. He gets it. And it's things like that where you have to open yourself up and say, you know what? I know I have a manual, but my goal is to hit their heart. And if it takes a story that shows that I will be vulnerable so they can be vulnerable, I will do it. If it takes a lesson that wows their minds, I will do it. I will practice it. I'll spend the money. I'll do whatever it takes. Because I want these kids to be changed as the Spirit of God flows into their hearts. And the only way that's going to happen is if their hearts are open. And the only way their hearts are going to be open is if I have taken the effort to tell them a story that opens their minds, to show them a lesson that piques their curiosity. We as Sunday school teachers are so much better than a manual. Let the manual be the basis for your study. Let it ground you in doctrine. But go beyond. Be anointed. You must be anointed. There are kids that have heard my story, and I have no idea what they were going through. And I don't really need to know. But I could tell it must have been something similar. Because when they come up and they pray, you can tell they're praying from a place where that was them. Right? Stories are powerful. Object lessons are powerful. Games can be powerful. So now there's the other stuff where Do other fun things. I'm trying to actually transition now back to the other points. But you know, like, you can make your classes fun. It's not one static thing. What I'm trying to tell you is I could tell you 100 things you could do. The more important thing is you pray. You pray. Seriously, God has an intention for your class that day. And if you don't believe it, pray till you do believe it. He does. He does. He has people he wants to talk to that morning. There are kids that their eternity can be changed that morning. And you can't believe anything less than that. You get yourself into the trap where you believe, I'm just doing my job. I'm just making sure, you know, nobody hurt themselves and everything's fine. Don't you dare. The future apostle Paul could be sitting under your voice tomorrow morning. How do you know that? Don't you dare underestimate what you're doing. What we do is powerful. Like I said, the work you do could save a kid a lifetime of pain. Years before they ever get any ideas of going into a gang, they've already got their gang. I roll with this team right here. This is my people. This is my church. I love my church. This is a place where they love me. I don't need that kind of validation. I don't need that. That's what we do for people. That's what we do for people. Make it interactive. You know, like we've played, like, you know, Jeopardy. You can, like, Google for different things like PowerPoint templates that allow you to do that type of stuff. Really neat. If you don't see it, I can put up an example to give you guys an idea. You can do discussions, other things like that. For the older ones, I'm going to just throw out this idea at you guys. I had this idea. I haven't personally implemented it myself, but feel free to take it. seriously, you know, like I said, I appreciate this so much about Brother Philip Booker. I feel like he and I share the same philosophy, which is steal away. We got plenty. And the faster you learn this stuff, the faster you're going to learn something that I don't know and you're going to share with me because I was sharing with you. And we're all going to get better a lot faster. And it has nothing to do with our numbers, you know, our chest beating. It's about us all being more effective at reaching kids, right? So this type of stuff is out there. Share it with each other. Share it with each other. Content. I'm wrapping up. So in wrapping up, litmus test to yourself every single week. Categorization, one of two flavors. Is it spiritual mac and cheese or is it spiritual pot roast? What are you giving your kids? How confident do you feel about it? If you go 3 weeks, 2 weeks, where you keep saying mac and cheese, check yourself. Check yourself. We can all get in ruts. We can all get in ruts. What I've found over time is you need tools to monitor yourself, right? So that's my advice to you. Three P's. Prayer, preparation, and the last one is being present. That's why I had instituted the crew leader thing, because I feel like sometimes you can get overwhelmed to the point where you're kind of like a walking zombie. You're just trying to make sure everything's going enough so that you got through the morning. You can't do that. Don't gyp the kids like that. Don't gyp you like that. Right? When you serve and you really spiritually connect with a kid, that makes you better. That makes you more fulfilled. That makes you happier. We live to serve God, right? There's things, what are we alive for? Now that we've been born again, now we have a spirit in us, it's to praise him and it's to serve him. That's it. That's it, right? Our mission in life is that the whole world would know, right? How much of the world is knowing that world in that classroom if you're just really checked out and you're just going through the motions, right? Be prepared. Be prayed up. And then be fully present. Tell yourself, I walk in the door of that classroom, there's 100% of me right now. My bills aren't talking to me. My work ain't talking to me. None of my other problems are talking to me. I am just about these kids right now. 2 hours from now, when I finish cleaning up my classroom and talking with the team, all the rest of the world will commence again. But right now, I am about this class. And I'm about what God is going to do in this class right now. I want to give you an example of a class schedule. So, you know, in a First Church Sunday School class, you might see something like, everybody gets settled. We come into the classroom. For us, what we do is we actually bring the kids into the sanctuary after the gym, and they all worship with us. Up to you. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. That's what we do. Then they come into class. We have about basically an hour of class. We get everybody settled, and the group leaders take attendance. It takes about 5 minutes. You know, they sit there and do their thing. Instead of one person trying to check off and do all that stuff, we're distributing the work. The kids come in. They spend a little time talking about their week. And we take prayer requests. This is an opportunity for us to know two things. One, did we help them get the wiggles out on some of the things? Like, it's like, I went to Great America. It was really awesome. I just wanted to tell somebody about this roller coaster. Sometimes that's all they need to do, right? And then they're fine the rest of the class. Other times, they had really traumatic things happen in their week. And that will be revealed in the prayer requests. And you can be extra sensitive. And it's, again, a communication thing. You can tap a teacher and be like, hey, this kid's had a rough week. You know, let's give a little extra care to this guy today or this gal today, right? Have a game or activity or something tied to the lesson. It takes about 10 minutes, right? Possibly. Give yourself about 10 minutes. A lot of times I find when I play a game, the kids like it so much, they're like, again, right? And then you do it again. So it's like a game might take 5 minutes. You're probably going to spend 10 because they're going to want to play it twice because it's that good, right? And then you teach on a point on the game, because you've opened up their hearts and they give you 5 minutes to go ahead and teach them something. You're like, hey, you know, like with what was happening there, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm trying to think of a good game that we've played before. Like one of them, I think I heard you guys playing that game where you get like all that crumpled paper and you're throwing all the paper, right? We call it clean your room. And everybody's like, each side is like throwing paper and it's just like paper flying everywhere, you know? And we talk about the same type of thing, right? Like we're trying to clean our hearts. Get it out, get it out, get it out, get it out, right? Like sin is trying to come in and pour in and you're trying to push it out, push it out. How do we push it out, right? So you can teach on that, right? Then you get to the point of the actual object lesson, and then maybe you alley-oop that with something like what Brother Booker was showing with the iodine, the bleach, and the water. Let's talk about how you get it out now, right? You go ahead. What we need is Jesus. Something I'm going to add to what you do is oftentimes when I pour the iodine into the me cup, I try to explain to the kids, I shove my hand into the cup, and I say, you know what? This is the interesting thing. Watch, I'm going to try to pull it out. I can't separate this sin from me myself. I can't. No matter how hard I try, I can't do it. I need something else to help me do it. That's when you pour in Jesus. You're like, Jesus has the power to do this. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. When we repent, we're baptized in his name, and he fills us with his spirit. His power is in us, right? And then the rest of what Philip taught. All of that comes together, and then it's snack time. This is a great time for these kids to be able to decompress and for you to find out something really important. What did they get out of it? Because a lot of times these kids, we just assume they understand all our Bible stories. We just assume they understand our terminology, right? P.S., getting the Holy Ghost is not intuitive to people. You know, like, oh yeah, yeah, God comes inside you and you speak in a language you don't understand. Obviously. No, not obviously, right? Here's what's crazy. I'll have kids that come to kids' church. I'll have little girls. They will be praying in the altar and they will cry and they won't even understand why they're crying. They won't even understand why they're crying because it's the first time they showed up and the Spirit of God is so strong on them. They don't know how to react other than to start crying. If nobody talks to them, they go home very confused because they never experienced something like that before. Frankly, that could almost be a little scary, don't you think? Right? That's the stuff where we got to communicate. We got to talk to each other. We got to keep our eyes open. We got to be working like that, right? So snack time is a great opportunity to make sure that the lesson sunk in. And also the final point being, you can't expect what you don't inspect. I don't know who said that. Probably Peter Drucker or somebody like that, right? But the reality of the matter is the more often you ask your kids, hey, what did you learn today? The more likely they're going to be like, somebody's going to ask me what I learned today. I better actually remember what I learned so I can answer, right? So it's almost like insurance that these kids are going to pay more attention in class. Because a lot of these kids from the bus, no parent is going to ask them that question. You know, we assume that when kids from the church come loading into the minivan or the Tahoe or whatever, hey, what'd you learn in class today? Somebody's asking, what about our bus kids? Who's asking them, right? The teachers and the crew leaders have to ask, or nobody's going to ask. So that's it. I want to wrap up with saying the goal of Sunday school is this, that you equip kids in a way that is so fun and engaging that they not only show up every week, but are so excited that they invite their family and friends. So there's no time for questions and stories, but I hope that was helpful, and I hope that that session helps you get a little closer to that, that your classrooms feel more prepared, that you feel better, your lessons are better, and that those kids really go home telling all their friends, you've got to come next week. Thank you, everybody. Okay, so the next thing is a general session. We're all together. Where's Brother Tyler? Coming in? Okay. Hey, he's right here. He's right here. Okay. Okay, so in this general session, we're going to be